Wave it like you really care. Hey, your smartphone. Somebody asked me, are you preaching with an iPad today? I said, no, I'm a real preacher. I preach with the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that is the book for me. I stand on the word of God. Some of y'all went to children's church. All those people just staring at me like, what is he saying? You didn't go to children's church. Come on, somebody say, that's my kind of people. Amen. One more time, say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I could do. I can have what it says I could have. Today I'll be taught the word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I'll never, 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 never be the same in Jesus' name. 2025, I'm graced to do it God's way. Come on, somebody, if you believe that, give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen, amen, amen. Let me pray for us today, and we're going to jump into the word. Father, I thank you today that ears are here to hear and hearts to receive and minds to comprehend. Lord, every eye's open, every heart's receptive today to what you speak to all of us. You know, it's name by name, situation by situation. Lord, let our ears be here to hear, hearts to receive, mind to comprehend. In your name we pray, and everybody said, amen, amen. Give somebody a high five, your credit card, your social security number, your driver license. Let them hold your wallet till the end of the service. Want to make sure nobody leaves early, amen. Come on, if they got your ID, you ain't going nowhere, amen. I remember one day in church, the pastor said, as everybody was standing, he said, now turn to your left. And everybody turned to face the left. He says, now stick your hand in the pocket of the person in front of you. You know what's in there? Their wallet. He said, pull it out and hold on to it till I dismiss service. Make sure nobody gets up and leaves. Amen. Well, it is my honor to be here with each one of you today, and especially with your pastors who I love and my family loves, and we treasure Pastor Evan and Sharice. We treasure this ministry. You're in a healthy place with a healthy leadership. Amen. And you know that God is doing something amazing here in this place. Amen. I've got a word to share with us today, and as sometimes I just came off vacation, been out for the month of July. And how many of y'all know that number 7 is God's perfect number? Amen. We know number 5 is God's favor, and number 7 is God's perfect number. It's completion. Number 8 means a new beginning. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and mankind and all kind of beings. But on the 7th day, the Bible says God rested. He rested because it was completed. He couldn't do anything else. Now a new beginning had to start on the 8th day. In the 8th month, August, I declare to you today, it is a new beginning. God woke me up this morning at about 4 o'clock this morning, and I heard these words that I want to share with you today. It's time for fresh oil, a new mind, a new heart, fresh wind, and a now word. You can't go into a new season on yesterday's word. God wants to give you a now word for a now day in a new season. It is a new beginning. Some of you, it might be a fresh start, but I declare today that you're going to have a now word, because in this 8th month, you're going to step into some new things. New doors are going to open up. New opportunities are going to take place. Stuff that you thought was over and done with, it would never amount to nothing. Nothing good could come out of that. God says, I'm going to resurrect it, and I'm going to break something new out of that. I'm going to take what has been old and waste, and I'm going to make something brand new. Do you know, if you look around this room today, if you're a believer, you are born again. God has made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's not you're living with the old you. No, there's a new you alive in you. It is that new person in Christ Jesus that the Bible says the old has been passed away and everything new has begun. God loves to do new things. It is not new things that he's ever done before, but he wants to take you to a new level. He wants you to enter into a new realm, into a new place, somewhere you've never been before. I want to talk today. The sermon that I have is uncommon. God uses uncommon people to accomplish uncommon things. God don't use the ordinary, the average, the barely get along. God looks for that uncommon individual that will have uncommon faith. So they'll see uncommon favor and they'll have uncommon results. See, the uncommon is you and me. See, if anyone and everybody could do it, it would already get done. But it is the uncommon that steps out and says, God, I'm going to believe you. When I don't see how you're going to do it, I'm going to believe you're going to help me get through it. God, when I don't see a way, I'm going to believe you're going to make a way for me. It's that blind faith that has this uncommon resolve that, God, if you said it, that settles it. I'm going to step out in an uncommon faith with an uncommon commitment so I can see uncommon results. Many people, the average, the ordinary, they will just do it. If I see it, then I'll believe it. If God puts a bird on my front porch with money in its mouth, I'll know he's my provider. No, in the Bible, from the beginning to the end, stories are written from every man and woman that God took the time to document their name. They were the uncommon. Mary was uncommon. The Bible says the angel came to her and said, Mary, you have been found favorable to God. God has chosen you, and she was in an uncommon situation. She wasn't already married. She wasn't already into having children to where she would understand that she's going to have a child and all these things. No, God picked the uncommon individual, the least likely. Are y'all with me today? Am I in church? Did I get off the wrong bus this morning? Some of y'all look at me like a cow looking at a new gate. Y'all ain't from Texas. No, it's that uncommon resolve that sees the miraculous in their life. I believe today you are the uncommon because here you are at 8:45 in church this morning. My Lord, if I had church at 8:45, it'd be a ghost town in there. No, you're the uncommon that says, I'm going to get up and I'm going to get to the house of God. I'm going to get there and I'm going to go all in. And I'm going to be all out. See, and you're in an uncommon church. This isn't your normal church. This isn't your average church. No, this is an uncommon church. This is a church that believes in miracles. This is a church that stands on the word of God. This is a church that says if it's in the Bible, that settles it. I'm not expecting anything less than what God's very best. If God said it, that settles it. Come on, somebody. Give him the Lord a shout of praise. See, was uncommon. Moses was an uncommon man. God used uncommon situations to speak to uncommon people. God didn't just talk to everybody through a burning bush. No, he chose Moses. He said, Moses, take your shoes off because where you're standing, you're on holy ground. God spoke to Moses and to a stuttering individual, the least likely that Pharaoh would ever listen to, that give any respect. But God didn't look for the average. He didn't look for the common, the ones that everybody expects to have a word from heaven. No, God used an uncommon individual that would step out in uncommon faith. See, God looks for people that are not going and doing things by their degree, by their education, by their gene line. Well, I know I'm going to see good things in my life. My mama had it. My daddy had it. My grandma had it. It's in the genes. It's coming to me. No, no. God looks for the least likely, the one that nobody would expect to see the miraculous in their life. That is you and I. God brings us out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, when God sent Moses in there to tell Pharaoh to let his people go, He went in there and he said, go in there to Egypt and tell my people, Egypt is not where I planned for them. Tell them to come out because I've got a promised land for them. See, God looks for uncommon people that won't settle for less when they know God's got the best ahead of them. Uncommon people step out with an uncommon faith. Peter, the disciples were in the boat. 12 of them crossing over to where Jesus told them to get to. He said, get in the boat and go to the other side. They were going over to deliver a demon-possessed individual. On their way there, a storm came. Jesus was watching them, seeing how they're going to respond to the storm. Well, he went walking out on water to them. There was 12 in the boat. Only Peter said, Lord, if that be you, you just give me a word. Tell me to get out of this boat and come to you. Peter had that uncommon faith. He got out of the boat because he heard a word from Jesus. He said, Lord, if you say come, I'm coming. I don't care if all hell's breaking loose. I don't care if this boat's about to go down in the storm. Oh, I don't care if there's a hurricane on the horizon. I'm going to step out because I hear a word from the Lord. Come on, somebody. The Bible says he got out, started walking on water. It's amazing to me that the other 11 in the boat never got out. They were probably hiding. They were probably ducking. You crazy. You fool. No. Peter was that uncommon individual. He got his eyes on Jesus. He said, I don't care what the weather looks like. I don't care what you say. If he says come, I'm getting out. I'm going to go where I've never been. I'm going to do what I've never done. Come on, somebody. Listen, if it was the ordinary, if it was common, this place would be packed out. You'd have to have 10 sanctuaries. No, listen, the believer, the child of God, is an uncommon individual. We get up and we trust a God that we've never met before. We've never been to heaven before. All we have is his word. It's a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. All I have is a written document here of promises made and promises kept. I'm going to stand. Come on, somebody. Uncommon people see uncommon results. God wants you to be the light. He wants me to be the testimony, the city on the hill, the one that is the refuge, the one that everybody runs to that says, I don't know how it happened. I don't even know why it happened for them, but it had to be God because I know them. I know where they come from, and there's nobody that should be walking in that. There's no way they could have got that by themselves. It had to be an encounter of Almighty God. Heaven had to show up in their life. A miracle had to take place. He wants you to have that uncommon family. That everybody before you in your family probably were the down and out, the lost generation. But all of a sudden, they start looking at you and say, where did you and your family come from? You say, listen, it's nothing tied to anybody in my gene line. It's tied to the heavenly line. I've been bought with the blood of Jesus. I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. I've got a living Savior that has given me a new life and put a new hope in me. Come on. Listen, there's no reason I should be here today. There's no reason I should be doing what I'm doing. I was in and out of jail, arrested in my own hometown, rode the short bus. I was in special ed. My dad was in prison twice. My brother almost died from shooting dirty needles in his arm. My sisters were messed up on drugs. I've been all kind of, I was in Bible school, my second year of Bible school, got married to my wife, got drunk on my honeymoon, went back to little toddy for the body don't hurt. No, anyways, but I see why y'all are laughing. My people. The point is, if you looked at my credentials, I wasn't qualified to stand on this stage. But I didn't qualify me. My credentials didn't qualify me. There is only one man. His name is Jesus. And he died for me. He shed his blood for me. He says, if you'll believe in what I tell you, I'll give you a new beginning. I'll give you a fresh start. I'll give you a fresh wind. I'll give you a now word. See, in God's kingdom, you never arrive. You just survive. See, when they were in the wilderness, he told them, don't gather too much manna. Some Christians are living on yesterday's manna, yesterday's sacrifice, yesterday's oil. No, you need fresh oil, my friend, because yesterday's sacrifice does nothing for this new beginning. It does nothing for what God has in the future for you. What you sacrificed yesterday has nothing to do with today. It just got you where you are now. People said yes 10 years ago. I found out you got to say yes every day. You got to say yes all the time, 24/7. You don't live in yesterday's yes. You get up and say, today's a new day. This is a day the Lord has made. I will choose to rejoice and I will be glad in it. This is the day the Lord's given me. I don't care what happened yesterday. Amen. See, when I believe that uncommon faith starts seeing uncommon favor. See, uncommon faith is you don't look to see if you have it to obey God. You don't look to see, will they really accept me? You just believe he's going to make a way where there was no way. You believe that he's the God that goes before you in Revelations that says, I will open a door for you that no man could close. He's the God that opens doors. He's not the God that closes doors. And he makes a way where you couldn't make a way. He opens things up for you where you could not have opened it for yourself. Anybody other than me. But it takes that uncommon faith that says, you know what? If the Bible says it, I'm stepping out in it. See, uncommon faith, I looked up the word uncommon. It means, uncommon faith means faith that goes beyond the ordinary. Faith that believes God for the impossible, the unseen, the unpredicted. It is example after example in the Word of God that God looked for people in the Bible, that looked for people when Jesus was walking on the earth that would have this uncommon faith. The woman with the issue of blood, many of you know the story. The Bible says she pressed in and touched Jesus at the very hem of his garment. Jesus didn't touch her, she touched him. How do you know? Because the Bible said Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? Sometimes I've went to church with ordinary faith because ordinary faith goes looking for the blessing, waiting on the goosebump. I hope they sing my song. Oh, they didn't sing my song. I'm looking for something to move me. I'm looking for something to stir me up. I know that ain't this church. That uncommon person says, I don't care if they sing my song or not. I come to pray. I'm going to stir myself up this morning. I come to praise. I got my praise on before I got here. I got up this morning and I stirred myself up. If the singers can't sing, they're going to hear me sing. If they don't make room for his presence, I'm making room for his presence. I'm not going looking for a touch. I'm going to touch Jesus this morning. I'm going to press my way in. See, the common, well, they didn't sing my song. Pastor Evan wasn't there today. They didn't greet me at the front door. No one spoke to me. I'm going to find a church, they speak to you. I had to park all the way in the back this morning. Got them cones out there. I about ran one over. Why they got them? See, you ain't the common. You're the uncommon. I don't care how many cones in that parking lot. I will drive them all over. I'll drag them all the way down the street. I'm getting to the house of God. I'm going to press my way in. I'm going to go bless the Lord on my soul and all that is within me. The uncommon don't look for the blessing. They become the blessing. I knew I wouldn't get a big amen on that. Some of y'all are like, well, wait a minute, Reverend, wait a minute. The Lord blesses. Yes, he does. But you should have that uncommon faith that says, if I become a blessing, I will always walk in the blessing. It's what he shared a minute ago. The sower sows. They don't just go. They sow the seed with this uncommon faith, knowing that if I put a seed in the ground, it's going to give me a harvest. I'm not going to get a harvest if I don't put anything in the ground. It's that uncommon faith. I don't know how it works. I don't even know why it works. I just know that if I'll put it in the ground, God will cause it to come back 30, 60, and 100 times more. Am I preaching to anybody today? Uncommon faith provokes uncommon favor. Do you realize that when you step out in uncommon faith, it moves God's hand towards you? In the Bible, they all stepped out in uncommon faith. Those are the ones that the Holy Spirit took time to document, and their names are recorded in the Bible. It's not that God didn't want to use everyone, but it had to be the reason we read about certain people and certain names in the Bible. And those names are the ones that are documented. It has to be out of the crowd. One stood up and said, God, I'm going to believe you. Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to do what you say I can do. I'm going to be with you. Amen. The disciples were uncommon. Jesus walked up to us and said, come, follow me. Some of them said, well, I need to go tell my wife. I need to go. We need to go bury my wife's father. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Come. Matthew, the tax collector, I need to go close my business down. I need to go. He said, come. They didn't get to pray about it. Well, I need to feel led. You know what I did one day? Somebody said, Pastor, I don't feel led. Next time I seen him, I had some lead in my pocket. I walked up. I said, hey, how you doing? Hold this for me. He said, what's that? I said, put it in your hand. He said, what? I said, now you feel led? Everybody wants to feel led. That's the common. That's the ordinary. The uncommon says, I don't walk by sight. I don't walk by feelings. I walk by faith. I walk by the word of God. If God, come on church, if God said it, that settles it. I'm going to stand and keep standing till I see the turnaround, till I see the promise manifest. Amen. How much time? Oh Lord, who gives me 5 more minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 20. No, really. Here's what the Lord spoke to me this morning as I got up. I heard the Lord say, Chad, tell the church, don't settle. It's a prophetic that I heard the Lord say, Chad, tell them, don't settle. Would you go with me to Joshua chapter 3? Anybody getting anything out of this morning? I heard the Lord say, Chad, tell the church, the congregation, there'll be people in that room or online, but I believe there's more people in the room that have been tempted to settle. What I mean by that, settle the way things have been, that you start expecting that they might just always be that way. Settling for less than stood of God's best. Settling maybe to the point, well, I thought my wife was going to change, my spouse was going to change, this or that, the job, da 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 da. It ain't happened. I don't know if it's going to happen. I see it happen for other people. Will it really happen for me? But this wrestling on the inside of settling for where you are, settling for the way things have been, maybe that's the way it's always going to be. The children of Israel were tempted to settle in the wilderness. They thought God brought them out of the wilderness to the wilderness. But God was only taking them through the wilderness. He wanted them to find out, are you going to grow through what you go through so you have breakthrough? Because the promised land was what the destination was from day one. But in the wilderness, they were tempted to settle there and say, it's taken too long to get to the promised land. Many of them were tempted to turn and go back to Egypt because in Egypt, they knew exactly the way it would be, the way it was, and they were tempted, at least we know there's graves in Egypt, so when we die, we already know where we'll die and where we'll be, and our ancestors and everybody's still in Egypt. But he said, I got a promised land. See, Egypt was not enough. The wilderness was barely enough. But the promised land... Oh, I got some church folk in here. Read the Bible. He had more than enough ahead of them. But they had to have this unsettling to leave Egypt to what they already knew. They already knew what to expect because it was the same way every day. But to leave Egypt and go into the unknown, it took an uncommon faith. It was an 11-day journey. But it took 40 years. If they would have GPSed it like I did coming today, it would have said 11 days to the promised land. Start. But somewhere around day 10, they started wondering and complaining. It's taking too long. They were tempted to settle. In Joshua chapter 3 in verse 4, let me start there for the sake of time. It says, yet there will be space between you and it, and 2,000 cubits of measures that you come not near, that you may not know which way you've come, for you have not been this way before. See, an uncommon faith takes you on a road that you've never been. It takes you on a path that you have not traveled that way before. And so it takes this uncommon resolve in you, this uncommon faith that says, Lord, I know you're telling me to go. I know you're telling me to step out. And I'm not settling the way it's always been. I'm going to trust you. Verse 5 says, and the Lord Joshua, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow, the Lord is going to work wonders. Verse 5 in the Amplified says, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves. That is to separate yourselves for a special holy purpose. For tomorrow, the Lord will work wonders for you. I heard the Lord say, Chad, tell those that have ears to hear, don't settle. Pastor, I thought it would already happen. Don't you settle. The doctor's report hadn't changed. I've been doing everything. I've been taking communion every morning. Don't you settle. I thought my raise, the bonus, I thought the job, I thought the opportunity, I thought all would happen. I've been faithful, I've been going to church, read my Bible, tithing, I've been doing it all. And all of a sudden, the temptation to settle that maybe it's not for you, that maybe you're not the one, that maybe you've been passed up, that maybe you're not the one that God's got his hand on. Can I tell you today, don't you settle. Don't you listen to that lie. Don't you listen to that old devil. He's a liar. His pants are on fire and the truth is not in him. Don't you settle. Don't you relax. Don't you let go. Stand. You press in. You hold on. God, I'm going all the way. I'm doing everything I know to do. After I've done it all, I'm going to stand. I'm going to keep on standing. Woo, Jesus. Don't you settle. You're further than you've ever been. You've come too far to turn back. Don't you settle. Peter started settling and he took his eyes off Jesus. He began to sink. He started looking at the wind and the waves. What he ignored to get out of the boat, he started paying attention while he was walking on water. I don't know who it's for, and I got to stop. But don't settle. I've been tempted to settle so many times to think, yeah, everybody else but me. God, you've called everybody else but not me. I've woke up even since I've been married and pastored, wanting to get high, wanting to get drunk. I know none of y'all did that but me. Just pray for me. Stretch your hands. Help him, Lord, help him. But those thoughts from the past will try to get you to settle, to think maybe you're not who you thought you were. Maybe when you took that communion, it didn't do anything. Maybe when you prayed that prayer, it didn't erase anything. That's a trick from hell to get you to settle, to give up, give out, and don't keep fighting. Don't keep pressing your way in. You go all the way. You give it all you got, and you see God turn the miracle around. Now I got to close, because he said this. For tomorrow, I'm going to work wonders. That means miracles you can't do. Things that you can't comprehend. Breakthrough that you don't understand. I'm going to do it tomorrow, not today. See, the normal people are like, if it don't happen today, Lord, I'm out of here. I want to quit. If I don't get touched today, Lord, it's over. That's what everybody prays. The uncommon says, I don't care if you don't touch me. I don't care if I don't see it today, tomorrow. I don't care if it's 10 years from now. Lord, I'm going to do what you told me to do. I'm not settling for less when I know you got the very best for me. Because tomorrow can be your today, but you got to be willing not to settle. Not. Would you stand? If I was younger, I'd climb back on top of that stage. I just turned 59. I'm not 60 like your old pastor. Amen. Who's this word for today? I know it's for somebody because I don't like to get up early. I've been at the beach for 30 days. I've been enjoying sleeping in. And the Lord waked me up at 4 in the morning today. I'm like, Lord, serious? He said, I want you to tell everybody don't settle. That's all I heard. And he took me to Joshua. He said, because tell them, for tomorrow, I'm going to work a wonder. But he gave them a recipe. He said, consecrate yourself. Separate yourself. My pastor told me, Apostle Hilliard said, Chad, your environment's going to change you before you change it. If you don't come out from among them, you're going to settle. You're still cussing because all you hear is cussing. Hello? Only reason you can smell like smoke is you've been around smoke. Or you've been smoking. It's one or the other. So, Chad, you're going to have to consecrate yourself. See, yesterday's sacrifice don't create tomorrow's breakthrough. It's today's sacrifice that makes way for tomorrow's breakthrough. It's what I do today that affects tomorrow. See, I'm where I am today because of yesterday's decisions. If I'm unhappy where I am today, it's because of... If I want tomorrow to be better, what I need to do, I need to consecrate. I need to separate. I need to push back from the table. The only reason you got to see some of this right here on vacation, I've been pushing away because I want to consecrate myself. See, some people, when they take vacation, they just go and rest. In the Bible days, those that were chopping the trees and the wood with their axe, when they rested, they didn't just go lay their axe down. They went and sharpened the axe while they were on break. So when they got ready to chop some wood, the axe... Yep. It's you I'm talking to. It's you. Today is the day. But what you've long waited for, the shift, the momentum, starts today. You've been tempted to settle. It's been dry. It's been hot. But today, you're going to enter a new season, a new day. I'm going to give you fresh oil, a fresh wind, a now word. Don't look back. Look forward. Look ahead. For the best is truly yet to come. Hold on tight. Stand firm. Because you're entering in to the greatest, magnificent moment in history. In your history. In your family. In your genealogy. Don't you settle. Don't let go. Hold on tight. In Jesus' name. Many lost their lives in Kerrville. Some of the children they found, personal friends of mine went and found and rescued kids there, was the children and the people that as the flood took them down, they held on to a branch. They found them a day later, still holding on to the branch. See, there's sometimes you got to hold on, even though the winds of adversity is pushing you to let go. In Jesus' name. Lord, I release this to this house, to these your people. In Jesus' name, amen.